Every 3 years when we read this passage from Hebrews in the lectionary, I always think of my old rector and mentor, the very Reverend Tim Safford, a man I did not always see eye to eye with, but a great preacher and a fabulous priest. Among the sermons I'll never forget was one Tim gave about the folks he called his balcony people. When I worked with him, Tim preached in a church like ours, with a balcony empty most Sundays and a whole lot of history. But when he looked up there, Tim said, he would imagine the balconies just full of people, folks who were watching over him with a mix of pride and some consternation, looking down to cheer him on and occasionally to haul him upright by the collar. Now, Tim could list off well-known names. This was a church that counted several of the founders of the United States as members. And then there were names known only to him, his grandmother, a beloved fourth grade teacher, all people who were Christ's hands and feet and voice in his life over the years. I know that I have my own set of balcony people, and I bet that you do too. Not just Drew and Gabe up there live streaming the service today, thank you gentlemen, who I know occasionally really wish they could reach down and pull me up by the collar. But I know that written in your heart is a list of names. Some names might be known to all of us, written on plaques around the sanctuary or on the walls of the columbarium below us. Others are names known only to you. The grandfather whose quiet patience kept you grounded, and old babysitters whose affection made you know you were safe. It might even be some people you didn't know personally, but whose stories have come down to you through the years, in family lore, in biblical texts. And listen, I happen to think your balcony people can include folks who haven't gone on to their great reward just yet. Tim and I talk maybe once a year, right? We exchange photos of our kids at Christmas time. But I think about him a lot. Or more accurately, I try to think about what he would think about my life. I find myself wondering, what would Tim do here? Or I've tried to do a little bit of that. Or I find myself thinking, would Tim approve of how I'm going about this? And maybe that just makes me act a little bit better. Do you know someone like that? Do you have somebody in mind? That is your balcony people. Now, the author of Hebrews had never seen a building like ours and was clearly a bigger sports fan than I am. So when he wrote about this great communion of saints, he had another metaphor. In Hebrews, we get the idea of this big arena. Think Roman Colosseum-style tiered seating. The author imagines himself down on the field where he is running a race, the greatest race of all, the race towards perfection in Christ. And when you run a race like that, right, or at least when I run, again, not a biggest sports fan, but kind of your vision narrows down, right? You end up focused on only your breath and the next footstep you take. But the author of Hebrews wants us to be aware that all around us in this stadium, in those high-tiered seats, are a litany of saints. Some whose names are familiar to us, or would be if we could remember that far back to Sunday school. He talks about Gideon, Barak, and Samson. There are others whose stories are probably even more familiar than their names. The guy who shut up the mouths of lions is definitely Daniel. There are others in this litany that scholars can't quite pinpoint, maybe because they were so personal to the author or to the Hebrews himself. But noteworthy and not, famous and infamous, these were peoples whose stories were handed down, whose presence was a part of that great cloud of witnesses, the communion of saints who have gone before us, and those who are with us in spiritual, if not physical, presence. Again, we all have people like that. Some people who the church has celebrated and canonized. Some who seem to matter only to us. These stories are our heritage and our cheering section. All these saints, their stories call to us through the centuries, urging us on to bigger and better things, inspiring us to run further and faster than we ever could alone. They are people who carried the light of Christ before us so that we could see just a little bit further down the path ahead. Today, in just a few moments, we are baptizing Connie, Constance Marie, into the faith. It's a little different, and for me, a little bit exciting to be baptizing someone who can answer the baptismal questions herself. Many, if not most of us, were too young to do so when we were baptized. We were babes in arms or toddlers trying to get away. And so, for us, promises were made on our behalf, by some of those balcony people, perhaps. Promises that came to shape our lives in the years that followed. Today, as we, the whole congregation, renews our vows along with Connie, we have an opportunity to reflect and give thanks for that great cloud of witnesses, those balcony people who have upheld us in life and in faith. And as we promise to do all we can to support Connie in her life in Christ, we are taking on the opportunity, the responsibility to be her balcony people, for her and for those who have come after her. We are the ones in whom other generations will look up to, who will need to haul up other people by their collar, inspire and encourage. Connie, we are so excited to have this opportunity to run alongside you as we continue to run the race set before us, always looking to Jesus as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, and encouraging each other as we do. Connie, your life will no doubt take you far from here, as it should, for college, for work, for love, for whatever comes next. But never forget, wherever you go, you carry us with you. We are always here in your balcony. We are always here cheering you on. Amen.